Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Absolutely stacked. Let's get into what's happening. Tinky and Tierney coming from our studios on this jam-packed Tuesday. We got a little something of everything, and we're doing it from our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Hopefully everybody's doing well. CBS Sports Radio, Tiki and Tierney Show. Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney, back on the simulcast, CBS Sports Network. NBA Finals, obviously, we'll get to that. LeBron trying to deliver for L.A. The Heat trying to stave it off and maybe steal one based on the odds makers. That would be classified as a little thievery. Full slate of baseball. I've got playoff baseball out of my office right now. Watch a little Twins and the Astros. Granky's pitching against Maeda, 0-0. Rolling four games, culminates with an A-plus matchup tonight with Bieber and Gerrit Cole. Yankees and the Indians. Mahomes and Lamar one-sided again. We'll get to that early in the show. But, Teak, right around 10:30 this morning, you know, a not-too-subtle reminder, in case anybody maybe forgot, kind of sense, wow, it's starting to feel normal again. We're not yet out of the COVID woods. And we could ask the Titans and the Vikings everything about that. And things have changed. In their seasons right now, they're in a temporary flux for sure.
Yeah, no, this was, I guess, inevitable. But it just felt like the NFL had done such a good job of navigating these crazy times, whether it was in the offseason with the draft, whether it was how they handled all the OTAs and the meetings via Zoom, even training camp, they pushed it back and ultimately canceled the preseason with limited number of positive tests. Now, there may have been, but we just didn't hear about the positive test and the issues that were going on in training camp. But they got to the start of the regular season, BT, 3,600 tests. We heard this week one, no positives. And it felt like, man, they dodged it. The season's going to start. It's going to be fine all the way through. Mm-hmm. But the reality that we've seen in college football with multiple cancellations or postponements, I should say, of some of these games and on Saturdays were that's the reality. We knew eventually this was going to happen and hit the National Football League, and it hits it in a way that makes the season feel, I don't know,
tenuous.
Yes. How do you complete a full season?
Mm-hmm.
Because unlike baseball, which when we hit this yesterday, BT, I was shocked. I couldn't have fathomed a month and a half ago that every team was going to play 60 games. Every team played 60 games in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Why? Because they can play doubleheaders. You can put it in seven innings and play doubleheaders, and you make it work. In the NFL, you can't do that. It's hard to play games with 6 days of rest. I don't know how they're going to find ways to fit in games if they have to cancel them. Now, they haven't officially canceled the game, but there's no way that they're playing the games. And so this is now four teams that are affected, not just the Titans and the Vikings who played each other last week, but the teams that they got to play this week. So there's not an extra bye week put into the schedule, but they're going to have to figure something out really quick and do it on the fly.
Maybe we get lucky. Maybe we stave off the inevitable for another, you know, week or month or whatever it might be. But yeah, right. I mean, it's not just the Titans and the Vikings. This obviously is an issue for the Steelers. The Titans are hosting the Steelers. The Vikings are in Houston. So now the Steelers and the Texans get brought into the equation. You know, team operation shut down. It's just the facility, you can't go in. It's inconceivable to think that they're going to have these two teams on ice or on Zoom for the next 5 days.
Yeah, how are you preparing for a game?
And then run out of a tunnel and play.
It's not happening.
They're not playing Sunday, I agree. Listen, the word that we've always reached for is adaptability.
Yep.
You know, Major League Baseball fans, a 60-game season to me wasn't incredibly appealing. But you know what? I'm sitting here wearing my Yankee gear today. I got my Yankee, you know? I'm ready. I'm ready for Gerrit Cole. My little guy wore his Aaron Judge jersey to school today.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah. And we have baseball. And just like hockey wasn't conventional, you know what? We crowned the Stanley Cup champion, the Lightning. Great job. Great series against the Stars. And a really good job by Gary Bettman. Probably his shining moment as commissioner. What they did, the bubble, how they did it, and you know, just going through it without any sort of interruptions was great. And the hockey was pretty good, too. So, you know, listen, if one team plays 16 games, another team plays 14, we're going to have to deal with this. It's not going to be equitable necessarily. It could be, but not necessarily. And if it's not, then we'll just have to be adaptable. Yep. And whatever the NFL says is going to happen is going
to happen. No, you mentioned what you mentioned there at the beginning, BT, is real. There's no way they're playing a game without practicing and putting these guys on the field with no contact. Not contact, really, because they don't really need contact during the week, but just no in-person preparation. Football's not like just show up and go, you know, play. It doesn't work that way.
Nothing is.
I know. Maybe basketball could get away. Maybe.
5 days?
Yeah, probably not. No, you're right. No, you're right. They even practice when they have off days. So, yeah, there's no sport that can get away with it, in particular the NFL. By the way, you mentioned the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup, so congratulations to them. I don't know if you saw it, but afterwards with Scott Van Pelt, John Cooper, who was the manager. We all remember what happened last year. The Tampa Bay Lightning got knocked out in the first round. They were the one seed. They got knocked out. He had a Virginia baseball hat on. It was amazing. So kudos to John Cooper. Congrats, but also for recognizing Tony Bennett and what they did, obviously losing 16-1 and then going on and winning the national championship the next year.
And by the way, there's a little something on that in inbounds, out of bounds. Well, we'll tie both together. It's going to be a fun debate. But I did see it. I saw you took a picture of that. And didn't one of your Virginia guys make like the top 10 for a sick catch in the end zone this past weekend, right?
Yeah.
The receiver.
I forget his name.
It looks like he's a big kid, rangy kid.
Yeah, there's some good players on Virginia squad. By the way, big win over Duke last weekend. Not a big win because Duke is now 0-3, but not a big win. But it was a win.
You played a game and you won.
That's right. That's all that matters. The season right. 1-0 for my Cavaliers. But, you know, back to the NFL, BT. The question becomes, what happens when, you know, not just the Tennessee Titans and the Minnesota Vikings start coming down with these issues? Because I think it's only three guys. I think I read that earlier today. And I think there's obviously there'll be more clarity as the next day or two goes on. Mm-hmm. But I think it's only three guys. But if three guys who test positive shuts down an entire operation, man, what if it's like 10 guys and all of a sudden that 1 week becomes 14 days? The NFL, I don't know if they have a contingency. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that they do. But the thing that we talked about before the season started was the Super Bowl is going to have to get pushed back, or at least there was the ability for the Super Bowl to get pushed back. If this happens to more than two or maybe, let's say, four teams, they're going to have to push the Super Bowl back because there's no way you're finishing a season. Because, again, let's not forget, this is compounded. It's not just the two teams that test positive and have to shut down operations. It's the teams that they play in those subsequent weeks. Mm-hmm. Now their schedules are also screwed up. Yeah. This is going to get dicey for the NFL because there isn't leverage or leeway like there is in other sports.
You know, there's not. There's no built-in cushion. We could just squeeze it in for the reasons that we've chronicled. Primarily, the arduous nature of the game. You just can't expect guys to pop each other and come back 2 days later, and you can't do it. But, you know, maybe we need to look at this a little differently. And I know that it certainly sounds different because it is different, all right? But in reality, what really is different from, if it is three or four players, from what, you know, the Titans and possibly the Vikings are dealing with, versus what the 49ers have dealt with, you know, three defensive linemen out for the season, their starting quarterback out.
Nothing. There really isn't. BG.
Multiple running backs out. Multiple receivers out. And by the way, one of those defensive linemen is one of the best in football in Bosa.
That's right.
So maybe we just need to suck it up. And that is not.
But BT, you're right. What you're saying is right.
But I just want to finish that thought because I don't want it to seem irresponsible. Yeah. That is not to marginalize COVID at all. Mm-hmm. And it's not to come across as callous or unaware. No. But you know what? three, four, five, six. Now, if it gets like 16 and the roster's ravaged, you can't play. But, you know, what is the difference between, you know, four or five players having to quarantine, miss time, hopefully they rebound quickly, and all the data said that they probably will based on the age, or 99% of the people will. And they miss a game versus, you know, five guys with a hamstring or a quad or contusions missing a game.
Yeah.
You almost have to embrace it as the same and just plow forward.
That's exactly what they have to do.
They have to.
Now, the way to do this is to rigorously test. Like, the fact that they immediately shut it down for the week tells me that they're doing this to pause and say, we got to test everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But that should, I think that's already what they're doing. So you're testing everybody every single day so you know how wide this thing spreads. But if it hasn't actually spread, which is unlikely, because it seems like there were positive tests that were transferred through the actions of the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's and if that's the case, mm-hmm. then we're likely going to see more. But let's just assume, to your point, BT, that it's not. Let's say it's three guys mm-hmm. on the
– or even five.
Or five. Five guys on the Tennessee Titans that have tested positive. Everybody else tests negative over the next 2 or 3 days, whatever mm-hmm. it is. That's what you shut the team down for. You shut them down for 3 days to make sure everybody's positive or not positive. And then you go forward just like these guys are injured. You put them on the COVID reserve list, which is what it is there for.
Correct.
And you go ahead and play. All right. It's a next man up business. We've talked about this the whole offseason. We knew that some guys were going to get sick. We knew that certain guys, not necessarily sick, but they're going to get infected because mm-hmm. they may be symptomless and perfectly fine. But they're not going to be available. And it's exactly what you said. It's just like pulling your hamstring. It's just like tearing your ACL. Except in this case, these guys will be back in, you know, hopefully 3 weeks. You know, when they pass this or clear through it, mm-hmm. Because if you do this every time two or three or five guys test positive, you shut the team down for a week. Which
you'll never have a season.
You can't have a season.
It's impossible.
It's impossible to have a season. And so you're right. This needs to change to what you just alluded to, BT. And it's not to be callous. It's
not at
all.
It's
not to be, you know, dismissive of the dangers of the coronavirus. It's just the reality of getting their season in. They don't have the leeway that the Major League Baseball did or the bubble like the NBA did.
Mm-hmm.
They have to rely on their players staying safe and the families of the players staying safe so that this doesn't get spread widely across an entire team, which then really devastates the seasons.
So we're on the same page with that. Schefter just had a tweet that Santa just sent us in Slack. He tweeted that, let's see, NFL wants to and intends to play the Titans-Steelers game as scheduled on Sunday.
I don't know how you do that without letting these guys practice all. I don't get it, man.
I'm just reading what Schefter
tweeted. I know what you're saying. I know I'm reading it too, but that just doesn't make any sense, man.
One of the contingency plans would be to allow for additional testing and contact tracing to occur. Would be to move the game to Monday night. So maybe that's, I mean, I don't know exactly what that extra day, well, I mean, yes, you create a window of more results that you can lean on and you can lean on medicine, obviously. But you also get an extra day to prep. So I don't know. I don't know if that's the perfect solution here, but I'll tell you one thing that I would worry about. I don't know to what degree, but you know, while it's one thing to, from a player's point of view, all right, you know what? I'm taking a chance here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play, and let's hope for the best. And, boy, you know, first couple of weeks, it just this is amazing. Maybe we're going to get through this, you know, completely undeterred. And then this pops up, and, you know, the NFL will be resilient, and the players too, and we'll do what we have to do, and we'll connect the dots. But I wonder if this doesn't jolt a player or two to maybe opt out of the season.
Yeah, maybe.
Every home is different.
Maybe, because you don't know what people's scared level is.
Correct.
And
this amplifies it. This makes it real.
Of course it does. Because, again, like we mentioned, this wasn't an issue for the NFL. Nobody was talking about it. Yes, there had been guys on the COVID-19 reserve list, but my assumption was a lot of that was because these guys were in contact with someone. They're not necessarily testing positive, but you have a mini outbreak, and I mean like mini outbreak, because I'm not certain on this, but I think it's only three or five guys.
Mm-hmm.
A mini outbreak, and then it could potentially spread. Then it gets a little bit dicey. Fortunately, we have we booked Jonnu Smith, who is with the Tennessee Titans. He's going to join us.
Player.
Great player. He's going to join us at 4, or young player, but he's going to join us at 4:20,
mm-hmm.
and he can give us some more insight. We were worried that that might get canceled, but it looks like he's still going to join us this afternoon, and he can give us first-hand knowledge of what's happening and how their week is going to be. Again, they are not meeting in person at all. They are doing everything through social distance Zoom conferences, nothing on the field, and then they're going to have to play the Steelers on Sunday. At least this is according to Adam Schefter's report.
No, they could push that to Monday.
It's still it intends to play the Steelers Titans games as scheduled on Sunday. One mm-hmm. of the contingencies is that they could play it on Monday as well. Either way, They're not on the field. They're not mm-hmm. game planning specifically on the football field. It's going to have to all be digitally and on paper and in your mind. I'm not sure that's going to work.
Okay, we've got a lot to hit. As I said before, NBA Finals tonight, obviously. Great, great description. You and I were listening to this before the show. Obviously, you know, most people will reach for the LeBron angle first and foremost, and we get it historically. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the top two, three players, subjectively, wherever you rank them of all time, is back in the finals for the 10th time in 17 years, trying to get another chip. For you know, one of the vaunted franchises, the year that Kobe passed away, was killed in all the sport. It's a huge story. But what Spoelstra said about his Heat was a perfect encapsulation. It caught both of our ears, and it went right to our sporting souls. We're going to get to that a little later. Just a perfect description of who he's coaching. This is going to be a lot of fun, the NBA Finals. We'll get to that. Baseball's rolling, but coming up next here. All right, we've seen the Ravens lose to the Chiefs. We've seen that a lot. We've seen Lamar unable to come back, trailing at the half. Matter of fact, he's never done it. last night, his sixth defeat against no wins when losing at half. What we've never seen, really, is an acknowledgement of this gap, this identifiable gap. One thing for us to say it, that maybe the Ravens are here and the Chiefs are up here, or maybe more specifically, you know, Lamar is here and Patty's all the way. Patrick, pardon me, Mrs. Mahomes, my bad. all the way up here. What we haven't really heard is, I don't want to say a defeated attitude from Lamar, but almost a little too accepting for a lot of people what he said last night and even before the game. So we'll get to that coming up. Busy show. We'll stuff it all in for you. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227 here on Tiki and Tierney. 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Do you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So, what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Last night, obviously disappointed in the way that Lamar Jackson performed and just completely, once again, taken back at the brilliance or by the brilliance of Mahomes. Not that I'm not expecting it, but, I mean, every game you see a little something new, and the play calling was just freakishly good and on point. What I'm disappointed, though, today in is that, you know, as I fast-forward this season a little bit, I try to find the team in the AFC that's going to legitimately challenge the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that the Ravens would be first in line to do that. And now, I don't know how you could possibly think that.
Yeah, well, think about a team that has a great defensive front. Those are the only types of teams that can challenge the Kansas City Chiefs.
Steelers.
So the Steelers can do it because T.J. Watt and Bud Adams.
Bud Dupree. Yep, I got you.
Bush is there, but he's in the second level.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 weeks ago, we saw the Los Angeles Chargers really make the Chiefs struggle. Remember that game?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Herbert's first start.
Chargers should have won.
Exactly. Justin Herbert's first start. It felt like the Kansas City Chiefs were out of sorts from the very beginning. And people, you know, I don't know what they made the excuse of, but the reality is with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, the LA Chargers are able to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes and make him uncomfortable from the very without having to blitz extra people or dog extra rushers. So you can have four guys and down rushing, and everybody else can play coverage. The Baltimore Ravens are not stout up front. Now, they are a very good team defensively. They are they were number one in scoring in the National Football League. They have great pieces on every single level, but they can't get home rushing just four. As a result, you see their defense and Wink Martindale, their defensive coordinator, doing all of these complex things. They even said it on the broadcast last night. He's trying everything. He's trying man. He's trying zone. He's dogging. He's zone dogging. He's blitzing from the secondary. He's trying everything, and it's not working. Well, the problem is when you try all of those things and you have to take someone out of the second and third levels to come pressure Pat Mahomes, he knows it's coming. And because they have five viable receiving threats from, you know, Travis Kelce to Tyreek Hill to even Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of the backfield and Sammy Watkins and Hardman, like, you can't defend everybody. Somebody is going to be open. And if you try to complex blitz him, he knows it's coming. So he's going to beat it. So the only way to best Pat Mahomes is to have four guys up front be able to get home without help, and everybody else has to play their butts off on the second and third levels. The Baltimore Ravens can't do that, so they got taken advantage of. The only other way to stop the Kansas City Chiefs is to keep them off the damn field. Now, the problem with that was that Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, this became very clear to me like right away as I was watching this game. I was like, the Ravens have no chance in this game. In fact, I watched more of the Stanley Cup than I did the Monday Night Football because the game plan was flawed. After that first drive, you saw Lamar Jackson dropping back to throw, like standard drop back, not like we're going to do something, you know, get us off center and, you know, give me a run pass option. It was like five-step drop, let me try to find my tight end or find whoever, you know, Hollywood Brown downfield. And that's not how they win. They don't win by throwing the ball. They win by running the ball. But they got down quickly in the game, and their game plan turned into something that is foreign to Lamar Jackson as it pertains to success. So, yes, I hear what Lamar said after the game. We'll play the cut here in a second about the Kansas City Chiefs being their kryptonite. I think he's joking, really. He's being tongue-in-cheek. But what it really was a bad game plan on both sides, and on the defensive side, more importantly, a lack of talent in the front four. They can't get home on Pat Mahomes, and if you let him stand back there, forget it. It's over.
Let's hear the cut. Here's Lamar, who is going to have to keep answering this question until he, you know, it's. I don't know if it's a demon yet, but it's a growing storyline. Here's Lamar about that. All right, I want to reiterate some numbers now, and they're updated from last night. So Lamar Jackson, 19-0 when leading at the half. He's now 0-6 when trailing at halftime.
Yeah.
Now you could say some of it's circumstances, whatever. I mean, it's not this 19 games is a pretty decent sample. Six, that's still relatively minute. The young man's an MVP already.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's an arcade. He's but the one thing I do question. I remember this came up last week. I said that I believe it was either last week or 2 weeks ago. And if it was last week, probably not the week to bring it up because Kyler Murray didn't play well at all. He had a few picks, but I'll stand by the assertion. You know, I believe that Kyler Murray is going to be better than Lamar Jackson. I believe that firmly. I just think there's more of a progression, more of a refined approach to the quarterback craft. You know, the inability, and I was watching McElroy, former Alabama quarterback, diagnosed this early this morning on ESPN. He ran through, you know, five or six situations contrasting how Mahomes not only, you know, sees the blitz, but then deals with it and just slices you up and kills you. Whereas Lamar, and on the other side of the screen, it's confusion. It's just the exact opposite of Mahomes.
He's not there, man. He's not there yet.
No, he's not there. I know. We know that. The question is, does he definitely get there?
I think he will. I think if he's smart and involved, and I think he does have a high football IQ. So I think he'll evolve into that. He hasn't been asked to do that a lot because they haven't needed to do that. Mm-hmm. Their offense has been so dynamic. I mean, rushing for 250 yards a game is just – it's if you can win that way, win that way. The difference is Pat Mahomes is not that, and he's actually got an even higher IQ. He is, you know, unlike Mitch Trubisky, who was drafted ahead of him, and sees everything mm-hmm. as it's happening on the field. And ultimately, this is why a Mitch Trubisky can't be successful in the NFL, because he can't see it. Right, he's late. He's hesitant, and they contrasted this specifically with Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles. They ran a similar play. It was a combo route with two wide receivers. They switch, one runs a go, one runs a dig. Right, Mitch Trubisky was not confident in what he was seeing, so he hesitated, he hitched, and then he threw it, and it was late, and it was an overthrow because he knew he was late on it. Nick Foles, by contrast, knew it was coming. Said to his wide receiver, run to the L, right? Basically, same play, just let it go on time, got drilled. He knew he was going to get drilled because the blitz was coming. Ball was on the money. The Bears win the game. Pat Mahomes sees all of that, but he knows what you're trying to do to him. And so you can't confuse him, right? And Lamar Jackson is at the point where he doesn't understand it yet when defenses are confusing. So mm-hmm. his only default is to run. Now, the problem is he didn't run enough last night.
No, he didn't run enough.
You know what I mean?
He didn't.
So if you're
somebody's trying to prove that.
That's right. That's right.
He's,
so it's less that it's.
He's evolving.
I mean, so in a sense, maybe the Kansas City Chiefs are his kryptonite, because when they get into those games against a team that can score,
yep.
It feels like Greg Roman, their offensive coordinator, is like, we got to keep up. Like, we got to keep up with them. We got to score 40 today in order to win. And I'm sure that was his message. We got to come in there. We got to hit them hard, hit them in the mouth. We're going to do that our first drive, as they did. Mm-hmm. They went down. They ended up kicking a field goal instead of scoring a touchdown. But we got to hit them in the mouth, and then we got to keep up with them, right? But you're not beating the Kansas City Chiefs trying to outscore them. I don't care who the hell you are. You're not beating Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid's offense trying to outscore them. The Ravens tried to outscore them, and the problem is Lamar Jackson is inferior in that regard to Pat Mahomes, and as a result, the Chiefs ran away with this game. It was over in the second quarter. BT,
it's pretty boring.
I know that, you know, it was a, you know, 4-quarter game, and yes, they started to play a little bit better in the second half, but it was over. You could tell the mm-hmm. game plan was flawed.
Mm-hmm. I've got something on Eric Bieniemy that I want to get to a little bit later. A couple things I was thinking about last night. A couple things I tweeted earlier today. I'll squeeze that in a little later at some point when we get back to football. I want to stay on point. Let's get the update from Ack, who's back in the chair. He's going to give us the update. We'll come back inbounds, out of bounds after that. We'll get to the NBA Finals. Eric Spoelstra with a great take on the character of his team and the direction where they've all come from. So we'll start squeezing in the hoops. We'll
Sunday, the NFL on CBS inbounds, features
out of bounds,
some great
which
matchups,
is right after Ack's
including
update,
the league's
right
top contenders. Hold on a second. Oh, this thing's driving me nuts, Teak. I knew that this was dated. I knew it. And I just pulled it up. Eh, whatever. I'll do that after. I'll give you the right games. I can promise you CBS has games coming up. All right. I just saw is that old too? I just saw the best play in baseball, in my opinion. I was watching it during the break here. And we'll get to inbounds, out of bounds. So the Astros and the Twins, Granke's pitching. And it's a nothing-nothing game. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a 1-0 count. Cruz is up. The Wiley vet, and he rips a liner to right field that just short hops the wall. Reddick, in my estimation, got a little bit too close to it and mm-hmm. allowed it to actually then kind of go over his head a little bit.
Yeah.
Not far. Bounced, had to pick it up, hit the cutoff man. Kepler, who's a good hitter, Max Kepler, coming around from first base. Bang, bang. Right field to cutoff to home. Got him by a hair. That's my favorite playoff play. A cutoff play at the plate.
Yeah.
Especially when it's like nothing, and you have an ace on the mound, and every run's at a premium. Good start right there. So Cruz is still ripping. I'm a little bit behind. Something may have happened after that, but last I had it was the Twins 1-0. All right, Teak, you ready for a little inbounds, out of bounds, see what we got?
Yep, let's do it.
All right.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, during Sunday's win over the Cowboys, Seattle running back Chris Carson was hurt by when Dallas lineman Tristan Hill gator rolled. You're going to know more about this than me for sure. Over Carson's ankle after tackle. After the game, linebacker KJ Wright tweeted, "Doing dirty, dumb, malicious belief like this can end somebody's season!" Exclamation. "This is clearly intentional, and getting fined isn't enough," end quote. Now, yesterday, Pete Carroll expressed his displeasure. This was on 710 ESPN Radio.
Yeah, I was really pissed about that one. That was it. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I was pissed because that guy hurt him, you know, unfortunately.
All right. Yesterday, Mike McCarthy said, quote, "Trust me, there was no intent involved," end quote. The NFL should suspend Tristan Hill at least one game for the move.
No, I don't think they should suspend him for that move. It was a dirty move, and guys have been doing this for years. You know, why he was doing that, gator rolling, which is – it really just catches you off guard because you're trying to get up and your body is relaxed. Like, you callous yourself, we use that word often, to taking hits and to going into contact and how to fall properly. But once you're on the ground and the play is over, you relax. Like, your body just eases up and you're collecting yourself for the next play. And that's when you're most vulnerable. So the fact that it happened then is what's most frustrating about this. I don't think he should be suspended, but that's a dirty move.
I don't think he should be suspended either. I have him out of bounds now. But here's the thing, T. If it's that dirty, and I don't doubt that it is, then why don't we, you know, implement some sort of more punitive punishment?
Yeah, because it's not violent. I mean, it's just, it's ticky-tack in a sense, and it's usually not going to hurt you.
Uh-huh.
So you can't penalize something that's usually not going to help. He got caught the wrong way, Chris Carson, and it sucks because he's on my fantasy team, so I'm not going to find another running back.
Oh, my team's just I'm ravaged with injuries, as most people are.
I know. Just heard the Dallas Goedert dude. Not that I have him, but
tight end.
I mean, so the Philadelphia Eagles cannot buy a break.
No. No good if you have Carson Wentz, though.
True.
I mean, Zach Ertz and Carson. Certainly, if you have Zach Ertz, much better. I mean, you don't want to see Goddard go out, but if you have one of the other tight end who's obviously very good, you don't have to share. All right. I'm going to say out of bounds. It doesn't involve the head. It is old school dirty. I've heard all the old players intimate that today. But suspend them seems a little strong for me, so I'm with you. I'm going to say out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Get to some basketball here, Teague. Victor Oladipo played just 55 games the past 2 years combined, but the guard's not happy with the Pacers. Jared Weiss of The Athletic reports Oladipo was, quote, looking to move on this offseason, and the Celtics could be a possible target. So he's a two-time All-Star, pumps in 23 a game. He did that in 2018, but he hasn't quite been as dominant the past couple of seasons. So, you know, where is he? It was a quad issue, which obviously, you know, zips you and zaps you of some explosion.
Yep.
He wasn't the same guy. In or out, Oladipo can be a legit number two for a title contending team.
I'm going to say out of bounds of that. I think his health issues have been myriad over the last couple of years. And I worry about guys because he's not old. That have these many injuries year after year. So I'm going to say out of bounds just because I don't know how available he would be. I'm trying to, like, picture him as a member of the Lakers or in the Miami Heat, and if he makes that big of a difference. I guess anybody could, but I'm going to say out of bounds. I don't see it.
I mean, I really like him, but I'm going to say out of bounds as well. I think what if he's your big offseason addition, and you've got, you know, one legitimate star, then, and you have real championship aspirations based on this move, I think it's very risky because he's just not physically reliable last couple of years. Now, if you insert him more practically into a third or even a 2B slot, you know, like if the Mavericks ever got him, and it's Doncic and KP and Oladipo.
Or the Lakers.
But they don't even need him is my point.
Of course they don't. But, yeah, they actually kind of do when you look at the bench, like the plus minus.
Next year
they definitely will.
It's going to be good. You know, if he's inserted into the Celtics situation with Tatum and Kemba, and maybe LeBron AD, Steph, Clay, is he that kind of a player? No, Clay's number two to Steph. He's not that kind of guy. Is he like Kyrie? Will hopefully for Nets fans be to KD or like Kyrie was to LeBron? No, he's not that kind of player. Is he like Murray is to Jokic? No, not really. So he's just not good enough. He's good, but this is rarefied air. Legit number two, like a Scottie Pippen, to win a championship? I don't see him as that player. Just a tick below. Out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak, the Cubbies, they won the Central. They earned the 3 seed in the playoffs despite former MVP Chris Bryant hit 206. I know it's a short season, but yes, we have 4 home runs. I mean, if, you know, 60, 120, you're talking about like an prorate this, like it's like a 13-home-run season, whatever it is. So he's heard some boos, and after the weekend, he was asked about the fan criticism. Bryant didn't hold back.
What's been your reaction to some of that?
I don't give a, I really don't. That's a good answer. Kind of over it. So I don't give a shit. How about that?
Wow.
Nice.
Okay. You don't really hear an athlete say it quite like that.
No,
I mean, the
man.
Second point, it, put it this way, just the way he said it the second time, you better get him out of Chicago.
Yeah, wow.
That relationship's done. Those fans will not, they will not forgive him for that. Book that. Bryant has much hype, obviously. Won an MVP a couple of years ago. And he did help him, you know, end the drought there in the World Series. But he's really scuffled the past couple of years. He's not the player that a lot of people thought he would be. In or out? Bryant has been a disappointment considering the hype around him.
It's hard to say that a guy's a disappointment when he was the Rookie of the Year and then the MVP. He had, what was it, 2018? Yeah, 2 years ago, he missed a handful, really like a lot of games. And then after that, he hasn't quite been the same. But prior to that, he was 26 home runs, 39 home runs, 29 home runs, and he had that off year. And he came back at 31 home runs. I'm going to say out of bounds. I think he has – I think he's delivered. It's just he's in a frustrating place right now. And I can't help but think it has a lot to do with his contract and the fact that he's not arbitration eligible until 2021.
Well, he better get over it because if he keeps hitting 206, he's not going to get the money that he's looking for.
Great point.
The answer is inbounds. He has been a disappointment. I understand what you're saying. He burst on the scene, Rookie of the Year, great. And wins the, okay, terrific. But there's been a lot of players that have had these incredible starts to careers and then they just got sidetracked for whatever reason. Listen, Chris Bryant in a year is going to be 30.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you kind of are what you are. And he plays in a good hitting ballpark. He plays with bats all around him, so he's getting good pitches to hit. Come on, man. I mean, Chris Bryant, the last – you tell me the home runs. I'll give you the RBIs. 73, 52, 77. And then, you know, this year's different. He's got 11,
yeah.
But
– is that all him, or is that the guys in front of him that can't get on base?
Hey, listen, you know –
what are you saying?
I mean, listen – no, it's him. It, when you have 73 RBIs and 50 RBIs, I understand there's going to be situations where you might have 93 RBIs. If you're on a good team, you've had 115 for sure. But Chris Bryant has fizzled. He is not the same player. I don't know why. I don't know what it is specifically, but he's just not a dominant player. If you, I know you can't do this, but if you deleted the first 2 years from your memory bank and you just assessed who he is today, it's not incredibly impressive. It's mm-hmm. just not. The answer is inbounds. He's yeah. He's got in a weird space.
There's a lot of guys on this roster. Contreras, Baez,
mm-hmm.
Schwarber, even mm-hmm. Chris
yeah,
Bryant
but
himself.
Yeah, Schwarber's not that kind of player. Hayward, and the other guys are younger than Chris
hold
Bryant.
Hold on. That strike out a ton. A ton.
Well, I'm not worried about the strikeouts.
I am, because you're talking about Chris Bryant driving in runs. There's nobody on base, dude. They don't walk either.
I'm just telling you, that's not the way it works in baseball. Man.
I understand that, but
still. You got to hit better than 250 if you want to be a superstar.
Oh, I agree. Hitting 206 is just not, I mean, that's horrendous. I don't care how short this season is. But still, they haven't been good the last couple of years, period. Not just Chris Bryant.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, so the Lightning won their first cup since 04. They beat the Stars 6 games. They won 2-0 last night. Now, last year, Tampa tied the NHL record with 62 wins. Before being unceremoniously swept in the first round by Columbus. We mentioned this before. Last night, head coach John Cooper was with Scotty Van Pelt, he of the Bad Beats on SportsCenter, wearing a hat of Tiki's Virginia Cavaliers and the national championship team who won the title after being the first one seed to lose to a 16 seed and explain them and use them, Virginia, as the inspiration.
Acquired the hat right after we lost, and that's been 400 and plus days ago. I don't know Virginia. I don't know Tony Bennett. But they've been something to hang hope on this whole time. And it was a message that this hat's been with me the whole time. You need something to hold on to. And it was a really tough time for us last year. And like I said, they did it. Why can't we? And we did it.
It was pretty cool. That's a good job by Coop right there. So the question is this here, Teague. Tampa, all right, Tampa winning the Cup last year after last year's disappointment is more impressive than Virginia's turnaround the next year.
I'm going to say out of bounds of that, and I'm biased, but here, but Virginia, it's so hard to, when you're a number one, it just has never happened. It's so hard to lose to a 16th seed, especially, you know, Maryland, Baltimore County, which nobody had even considered getting to the next round. But then taking that disappointment. Now, they were lucky because they had a lot of the same kids coming back with DeAndre Hopkins and Kyle Guy and et cetera, Diakite, all those guys. So, it made sense that Virginia was able to do it, but it also makes sense that the Tampa Bay Lightning were able to do it because the team was mostly intact. They didn't have wholesale changes. Mm-hmm. So they're equally impressive, but I'm going to say Virginia's was more.
Well, listen, you're right. You are biased, but you're right. Mm-hmm. Your instincts are right. I'm not biased. I mean, yeah, I want to see Virginia do well for my partner, but I'm not biased here. The answer is out of bounds, and I think it's out of bounds for this one reason. The scrutiny, yeah. Listen, you win 60-plus games, you get bounced by a team that you're supposed to sweep.
Yep.
You get in the hockey world, you're going to get lit up a little bit. Understood. When you historically do something that we've always kind of talked about and talked around and feared and also quietly kind of hoped for, you know, like Princeton almost did it to Georgetown back in the day with Pete Carril and Alonzo. You know, you look for those moments that are so captivating, and just more people care about the big dance than they do about a team getting bounced in the first round of the NHL playoffs. So,
that's right.
You know, the ability to come back from that and it be a more than a footnote, but, you know, a big, you know, italicized bullet point in the annals of college basketball, and come back as young men when you're impressionable and vulnerable because you hear all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly impressive, no doubt. But great job by the Lightning. Awesome stuff. All right, Teague. Doc is out in L.A., and he might get the Sixers job. Is it a decent fit? We'll hit that coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.